give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But give to God what belongs to God. Giving to God what belongs to God. We've already meditated a little bit in this Mass on we owe many things to God, fundamentally our very self. We owe Him our praise, our thanksgiving. We owe God to be in His house every Sunday. We owe it to God to trust Him. Today in particular, I want to talk to you about one aspect of giving to God what is God's, what belongs to God, and that is our tithe. The first tenth of our income belongs to God. Now I see some of you holding on to your pocketbooks and your wallets, but I want you to know right now that the first 10% of all your income belongs to God. We're going to look at how God's Word teaches that today. We've got to render to God what is God's. And that first 10%, I've kidded with you before, but I'll say it again. That first 10% of your income is tainted money. It ain't yours. It's God's. And today in the Gospel, Jesus is very clear that we must give to God what is God's. Over and over again, the Scriptures speak to us about the tithe. So today, I want to preach out of the text from 3 Malachi. In your bulletins, you have a green flyer. Most of you would have a green flyer that has the text there from 3 Malachi. Why don't you, if you get a minute, just pull it out. Some of you may have a slightly different copy, but I believe most of them are green. Go ahead and take it out, and it'll help you to follow along with the sermon today because the reading is neither in the Missalette nor was it proclaimed. And I want to talk to you today about finding financial freedom. Now today, in this context, we're all aware that our American economy, in fact, the worldwide economy, is in some trouble right now. You might as well say amen. We're all aware that some food prices are up. Gas prices have been way up. They're coming a little bit down, but they're still up there. Many of you who have retirement plans, 401ks, have seen dramatic drops in the value of those. We're all aware that this is a difficult time to reflect on being faithful to the tithe. And yet, brothers and sisters, this is the best time. Because it's at a time like this, where things are a little tight, where our faith in God's Word is really tested. It's in the difficult things in our life that our faith really stands as real or just lip service. It's also easy to say amen, but we got to do the amen. And even in times like these, we all have fears and anxieties about where our income is going. We have anxieties about where the economy is going. But today in this church, it's good for us to be able to say, I'm going to still trust the Lord. He gets the first 10%. It's not mine. I'm not even touching it. It goes right to Him. You know, when things get tight, though, a lot of folks it becomes pretty evident that many folks don't exactly give God the first 10. They pay off all their bills and they see what's left over and then they give God from there. And you know, when times get a little tight and some of the prices go up, isn't it interesting How we often think, well, I guess I can't give quite as much at church now because I don't have, you know, quite as much left over. But brothers and sisters, isn't it interesting how we don't think like that when it comes to, say, the cable bill? We don't think, things are a little tight right now. Maybe I should go from extended cable to basic cable. Well, we don't think to reduce maybe the number of magazine subscriptions or something, but very often God takes the hit. Now, I want to first of all make a disclaimer. I want you to know that many, if not most of you, are very faithful to your tithe. And we're on target this year for our financial goals in terms of the collection. I know that many of you are being faithful, but I know that all of us are being tempted to shortchange God in the current economy. And the test for us is clear. Will we take God up on His word today? Or will we just say amen instead of do the amen? Now, as we look at Malachi, this teaching on tithing, I want to just say to you that this teaching is not a burden. It's a blessing. God is saying, you get right with the tithe. You give me the first 10% of your income, and I'm promising you that I'm going to pour you out a blessing. Now, God's not going to define the blessing for us right here, but I want you to know, God is faithful to His Word. And God will give us greater financial stability. God will allow us as individuals and as a parish to weather this storm. It's going to be just fine if we are faithful to God and give Him the first 10%. God has said, you will do more with me and 90% of your income and me as a partner than you'd ever do with 100% all by yourself. And today we're being asked, do we really believe this and do we really trust God? Now, let's take note. You have a little outline there on that green sheet at the bottom of the reading from Malachi that just shows you that we're going to look at receiving, if you will, or finding financial freedom in four steps today. Now, the first step is simply this, to review our faithfulness. It's good every now and then to just take a step back and say, how am I doing with the tithe? Has my income changed? Maybe it's gone up or down. Do I need to adjust my tithe? Likewise, we might say, well, I've been pretty faithful. About 80% of the time I remember to write the check and send it to God's house, bring it to God's house. But every now and then it slips and I forget. And so again, how faithful are you and I being in rendering God the tithe? It's a good review. Notice what the Lord says here in this first part of the reading, in verse 7 at the beginning there. He says, even now, He says, from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And the Lord answers, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord answers, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now again, the Lord is pretty tough here, isn't He? Again, I know that many of you are faithful to your tithe, but all of us, from time to time, need to take a step back. And the Lord is asking us to review this. We are to render to God what is God's. And notice what the Lord says, if we don't bring to Him faithfully our tithes and offerings, that we are guilty, look at this now, of robbery. That's strong, isn't it? But remember, that's tainted money. It ain't yours. It belongs to God, and He wants it. God says, render the tithe. A tithe, as you know, means a tenth. The first tenth of our income belongs to God. See, that's a big chunk of change, maybe. It's all right. Remember, you're going to do more with God as a partner with 90% of your income than you'd ever do with God with 100% all without all by yourself. But God is asking us to take a step back and to look. Many of you, if not most of you, are faithful, but we can all review our faithfulness. Take stock of where we are financially right now and make any necessary adjustments. And if we look back on the year and we realize that we sometimes missed and so on, we're going to recommit to stay faithful to the tithe. It's time to do it. And the Lord is asking us and He's warning us. He's saying it's robbery not to bring tithes and offerings. Now, by the way, a distinction. Tithes, that's the first tenth of our income that belongs to God. You bring it to the parish. Offerings are those generous gifts and alms that we give to the poor. And there's a distinction. Giving to the poor is not the same as the tithe. The tithe belongs to God, period, end of sentence. From the rest that remains, we are expected by God to be generous to the needy and to the poor in our families or in the community. So, brothers and sisters, the first step today is to review our faithfulness. You know, over the last number of years, I've been tithing now for probably about the last 12 years of my life. And I'll tell you about all the wonderful fruitfulness that's come to me for that. But one of the things I learned is that I'm not always as disciplined as I should be in sitting down and doing my finances. And so one of the things that helped me when I came back to Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian Parish was this Faith Direct. And you also have that in your bulletins. And what it does for me is that it helps me to stay disciplined in my giving. Every month, at the first week of the month, Faith Direct removes an amount that I've designated from immediately from my account before I can spend it by accident. I would never spend God's tithe, right? Amen. But sometimes by accident I might spend it. Well, guess what? First of the month, gone. That 10% comes right out and comes to God's house, and it's helped me. It's helped me to discipline myself in my giving so that I know that at the beginning of the month, that money is coming right out and it's going right to God. Now, I know that not everyone here is able to do something like Faith Direct, but I'm just telling you, part of my own review of my faithfulness is, yes, I give to the tithe, but sometimes my check is late and sometimes it's not quite on time. You know, all these different things. So I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't giving God from my leftovers, but I was giving Him from the first 10%. At the beginning of the month, I give to God my tithe. And that helps me to stay disciplined. These forms are in there. You can read about it. You can learn. You don't have to give your entire tithe. Perhaps you can give part of your tithe. But if something like this would help you to discipline yourself in terms of giving this money before you go off and accidentally spend it, goes right to God. Another way I know that some of you do is a few of you send checks here to the parish that come directly from your banks. And again, these things you set up to just come right out and come right to the church. So again, you're not going out there and accidentally spending it or forgetting or what have you. It comes right to the parish. I know some people that it comes right out of their paycheck, just like their taxes do. And the Lord knows, Uncle Sam, we never see that money, do we? It never even comes into our bank account, does it? Well, in a way, some people set up their tithes that way. They say, you know, it's coming right out before it even goes into my bank account, and it's going to God's house, see? So part of reviewing our faithfulness is not just our commitment to the tithe, but how disciplined we are in making sure that God is not getting leftovers, but the first 10%. So, step one, review your faithfulness. Now, step two, I've already discussed with you, rebuke your fears. But again, a lot of us get anxious when some crazy preacher like me steps up and says, you know, get right with God, pay the tithe, and they're like, I'm going to be struggling now to work this out financially. But again, brothers and sisters, please remember, we're going to read on here, that God is asking us to step out in faith, but He's promising us a blessing. Promising us this. So you say, but in tough economic times, I got to draw back. And the Lord is saying, no, this is the time to say no to your fears and to really try my promises to you. That if you're faithful to the tithe, I'm going to grant you financial stability. I'm going to give you blessings. You will receive reward. So we've got to, church, rebuke our fears. We've got to step up and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. Now more than ever. Because it's times like these where our mettle is tested, where our faith is really seen for what it is. So again, we've got to rebuke our fears. The Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 33, the Lord says, why do you worry so much about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear? He says, don't be so anxious about these things, he says, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God may not give us everything we want, but he will provide us with what we need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So again, I say to you, today is time for us to rebuke our fears and step out and say, this is, Lord, this is truly my faith in you. Now, the next step, release our funds. Hold on to your wallets. Notice what verse 10 says there in the text. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, notice, first of all, the definite proportion. The definite proportion. God says, bring ye the whole tithe into the storehouse. A tenth, the first tenth of our income. You know, brothers and sisters, over and over again in Scripture, we are commanded to tithe. It's not just here in Malachi. But over and over again, God says it. For example, in Leviticus 27 and verse 30, all the tithes of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy, set apart for the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 11 says, to the place that the Lord your God shall designate for his name to dwell there, namely the temple, there you shall bring all that I command you, namely these things, the burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and your tithes, and your offerings. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22 says, you shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes forth from the field year by year. Notice here in Proverbs 3, it doesn't use the word tithes, but the word first fruits. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with all the first fruits of your income. So shall your barns then be filled with plenty, and your wine presses shall burst out with new wine. Of course, today's text, Malachi, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And you say, well, this is all Old Testament, preacher. I don't know if Jesus expects me to pay my tithe. Well, Matthew 23 and verse 23, the Lord says, you scribes and you Pharisees, you are hypocrites. You tithe mint and cumin and dill, but you neglect weightier matters of the law. You should have done these weightier matters of the law without neglecting the others. So the Lord teaches us there are weightier matters of the law. For example, love and justice. But nevertheless, he says we should not neglect the tithe. So if you want to know what Jesus says, he says pay the tithe. Don't neglect it. Bottom line, Abraham commenced the tithe. Jacob continued it. Moses commanded it. Jesus commended it. Who am I to cancel it? So the Lord says there's a designated proportion all throughout Scripture. Bring ye the whole tithe, the first tenth of our income, the designated proportion, or the definite proportion, now the designated place, to the storehouse, the text here says in verse 10. Now the storehouse was just another name for the temple. Why would the temple be called a storehouse? Well, because in those days, the economy wasn't like it is today, where it was all cash or these plastic cards we're using now. But rather, people actually brought produce. It was a barter economy. And people traded in corn and flour, and they traded with oxen, and they traded, you know, an oxen for some farm equipment and different things like that. They actually had a barter economy. So the temple had a large storehouse where people brought a tenth of their grain, a tenth of their flock, a tenth of whatever. And they brought it to the storehouse. And from there, the temple was able to barter for other things that were needed for the temple. Whether to pay artists to keep the temple in good repair, whether it was to pay and give to the poor, whatever it might be, the temple was also called the storehouse. Well, where's your storehouse? Well, I got news for you. Do you remember here of this parish? It's right here. Right here. This is your storehouse. This is your temple. This is where you worship. This is where your tithe comes. So, brothers and sisters, this is, not only is there a definite proportion and a designated place, but there's also a determined purpose. So that there may be meat in mine house, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this idea of there being meat in the house, the idea is clear enough that the church needs to be able to do the works of God. Whether it's just keeping the lights going, or the church in good repair, whether it's paying the staff who take care of all your different needs, whether it's taking care of our music ministry who help us to worship so beautifully, whether it's reaching out to the children who have need of materials for their CCD and all of the different things that they're doing, whether it's caring for the poor, whether it's we have to also take care of the diocese. They tithe us. I got news, they actually tithe us more than the tithe. We pay more than 10% to the diocese. 14%. But we have to support the archbishop and the diocese. We have to support the works of God. There has to be meat in God's house. Otherwise, it all ends, and the work of God cannot continue. And so, brothers and sisters, we know that we have to release our funds, that there's a designated or a definite proportion, the tenth, the first tenth of our income, a designated place, the storehouse, namely this, our parish. And thirdly, there's a determined purpose, so that the works of God can continue. And then the final step, and here's where the promise comes. Brothers and sisters, we need to receive our fruitfulness. The Lord makes a promise in this text. He doesn't just command us. He commands us and then gives us a promise. And there are four fundamental things that the Lord promises here in verse 10 and following. That He will renew our faith, return us a fortune, rebuke our foes, and restore our faithfulness. First of all, He'll renew our faith. He says simply this, try me in this. Or this translation says, prove me now herewith. Try me. How many of you, I'm not asking for a show of hands necessarily, but how many of you have tried God in this and you know that God's been faithful to you in the tithe? If you've been faithful, God has proved to you that He's restored to you financial stability, that He's given you other blessings. I'm a witness. There was a time in my life when my finances were in serious trouble. I was living beyond my means, buying stuff I couldn't afford, putting it on the credit card. It was getting a little out of control. I remember at that same time, I had just been assigned to this parish, and this parish was having financial struggles at the same time. And I remember sitting down at a staff meeting, and we, Father Tolentino and I, were pondering with the staff what to do about the problems we were having paying our bills. And Mr. Lewis then said to us, well, I came from a church where God had a financial plan for His church. It's called the tithe. And he said, I don't think that this parish will ever be out of financial trouble until we get right and preach what God's Word says about the tithe. Well, Father Tolentino and I were smart enough to say, we tried everything else. Maybe we better try God. Within 2 years, this parish was out of financial trouble. When Father Tolentino and I got faithful, stood in this very pulpit and began to preach biblical tithing. There may have been an occasional year or two here where the parish went into the red, but fundamentally, this church has been financially stable ever since. Brothers and sisters, in my own life, at that same time, I committed to tithing. And within 2 years, I too was out of trouble And I'll try to explain how that happened in a moment, but I just want to say to you that my finances stabilized, my bills got paid off, and I learned to control myself and not spend money that I didn't have. See, my income as a priest didn't necessarily go up because it's a pretty fixed income. But the Lord gave me other blessings that brought me financial stability. So the first thing the Lord is simply saying is, try me in this. And some of us have already testified in this church that we've tried God and He's true to His Word. The Lord says, I want to renew your faith. I'm not just after your money. I want to renew your faith. That's what I'm really about. I want you to see that I'm faithful in this. Now, not only will He renew our faith, but He'll return us a fortune. It says here, just see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there won't even be room enough to receive it. Now, brothers and sisters, those of us who have been faithful to the tithe, you can already testify. It may not have been piles more of money. It might have even been that. But there were many blessings that came that I can't even begin to describe to you. The blessings of a good night's sleep, not worrying about the next credit card statement, the next cutoff notice. I know some pastors who have terrible financial headaches. They lose sleep. They're anxious because their parishes can't pay the bills. And once again, praise the Lord. I've been a pastor now for 8, almost 9 years. And I'm telling you, I've never had a year in the red. I've always been able to relax and understand that God is faithful. If I faithfully preach tithing, God will take care. I've almost never lost sleep over any financial matter. What is the value of a good night's sleep? God has poured me out a blessing. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, in my own life too, to sleep the sleep of the just, to learn to live within my means, to not be driven to distraction about all the trinkets and toys that I think I want. The Lord has blessed me and calmed some of the greed in my life. And even some of you would also have testimonies that the Lord gave you a great financial increase. Because He can trust you with 10 cents on a dollar. He says, here's someone I can trust with money. And He gives you more. But brothers and sisters, whatever the blessing, God promises He will bless us if we're faithful to the tithe. And not only will He renew our faith and return us a fortune, but He'll rebuke our foes. It says here, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and the devourer shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Now, they lived in an agricultural setting. Locusts and worms and other insects would eat up their crops. And the Lord says, if you're faithful to the tithe, I'll rebuke these devourers. Well, we don't live in an agricultural setting, but what are some of the devourers of your income, of mine? Well, I'll tell you, my own experience. Bad spending habits, hello. Living beyond our means. Devourers like greed, materialism, gluttony. Brothers and sisters, this was the main blessing God gave to me. I was buying all kinds of books and magazine subscriptions and toys and trinkets and this and that and constant insatiable desire for more. And somewhere the Lord began to calm that in me. And I'm satisfied with less now. I don't need as much as I thought I used to need. I get by on a lot less. And so, once again, this is how the Lord helped me to restore my financial stability. He gave me a modest increase in income each year, but in the end, what the Lord really did for me was to rebuke the devourers of my income, my greed, my insatiable desire for more, for the latest thing, for buying things I couldn't afford, for always having an eye for the biggest, latest thing. Brothers and sisters, many of us struggle with this, and the Lord can rebuke the devourer for our sake. And so this was the main blessing for me in terms of the tithe. And the final thing, not only will the Lord renew our faith and return us to fortune and rebuke our foes, but He will restore our fruitfulness. That is to say, brothers and sisters, it says here in the text, neither shall your vine cast forth its fruit before the time in the field, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a land of delight. Brothers and sisters, I have found that once my finances more stable, I am more fruitful now. I am able to do better things with my money. I'm able to be generous to the Archbishop's Appeal every year and to other charities. There are people in my family and among some of my friends who have needed financial assistance from time to time. And I'm able to help them because the Lord restored my fruitfulness. I'm able now to use my money for more productive and better things. I've taken and set aside a good retirement income. It's down right now with the market, like all of us, but it'll be back. But in the end, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I'm doing much better things. My use of my money, my income, is more fruitful, it's more productive, it's more helpful to other people, it's less focused on me and more focused on the future and others. And I thank God for that. I'm not rolling in dough, but I'm able to give some assistance to people who I know that are in need. And I thank God. And I hope that you feel the same. Well, this has been a long sermon, but it's an important topic, especially in times like these. The Lord is asking us today to review our faithfulness. To review our faithfulness, to make sure that we're not robbing God and that we are giving to God what belongs to God. He's asking us to rebuke our fears, to release our funds, and to reap our reward, to reap our fruitfulness. And so today, a great promise, a great blessing. And I ask you, as I ask myself, will you trust the Lord in this? Or will we just say amen? Or are we ready to do the amen? In the pews, there are some cards. Some of you may already know what your tithe is. And sometime today during Mass, take a moment or two and fill out that card. Go on record with God. Go on record with Him. Say, Lord, this is what the tithe means for me. And I'm going on record with You now, Lord, that this is what I'll be faithfully giving this year. And some of us may need to have this disciplined giving using Faith Direct. Others of you, you're able to do that check each week or each month. You're fine with that. But again, if you need something like Faith Direct, make use of it. But whatever it takes, go on record with God that you're going to trust Him and learn that you will begin to reap a reward. So later today at the end of Mass after Communion, I'll be asking some of you to bring that card up and drop it in the basket. Some of you will want to take that card home, come back next week and return it. That's understandable too. You may want a little time to think and pray about it. Some of you know exactly what your tithe is now and you want to just write it down now. But do that. But if you need to take it home, I understand that too. But you can just check the box saying you'll fill out a card next week. But I'm hoping that all of us today will go on record with God that we're going to trust Him. And then we can reap a harvest in due season. I'm mindful of an old song to finish with. You can't beat God-given, no matter how hard you try. Just as sure as you're living and the Lord is in heaven on high, the more you give, the more He gives you. So keep giving, because it's really true that you can't beat God giving, no matter how hard you try. Amen.